From Tally to Cali,
it's time to wake up.
Wake up. WarChant.com is your ultimate Seminole sports source.
And this is Wake Up WarChant,
presented by Corner Pocket Bar and Grill.
One more Corner Pocket.
Now here's WarChant.com's Asan Hajivandi
and Corey Clark.
Wake up! What is up, everybody? It's Wake Up WarChant, presented by Corner Pocket Bar and Grill. Coming up on today's show, 30 minutes of nothing but tour of duty, off-season conditioning workout observations with myself and Irish O'Fell. Wake Up WarChant, presented with limited commercial interruptions today, is presented to you by Corner Pocket Bar and Grill in Tallahassee, Florida. CPTallyBar.com is the website. You can always hit the QR code on your screen. It will take you to the website. Lunch specials Monday through Friday, 11 a.m. to 3 p.m., only $8.99. And on Fridays, your lunch special are those hand-breaded chicken strips in a basket, dipping sauce on the side, or tossed. You pick. That's how it works at the Corner Pocket Bar and Grill in Tallahassee, Florida. We're also presented by Vitamin Energy, vitaminenergy.com. The promo code is WarChantBogo, WarChantBogo. Buy an item, get one of equal or lesser value for absolutely free. How am I still functioning right now after waking up at 5 o'clock in the morning yesterday? Y'all do it because y'all are strong. I'm not as strong, but I had Vitamin Energy to help me out. Shake it and take it. Energy with benefits. VitaminEnergy.com. And MyBookie.ag. Promo code is WarChant. Use that for an instant cash deposit bonus over at MyBookie.ag, where you can bet anything, anytime, anywhere. Futures also available when it comes to college football, as well as everything that's going on right now in season. That promo of the WarChant requires a $50 minimum deposit and a rollover requirement of one-time your deposit total, including bonus for withdrawal. For full terms and conditions, visit mybookie.ag/about-us. All right, with all that out of the way now, we're going to turn to our managing editor, Irish O'Fell. He was one of, six of us that were over on the campus of Florida State University on Thursday to catch tour of duty, the last tour of duty of the 2024 offseason. Started at 6 o'clock in the morning. Sun was not up, and then when we exited, the sun was up. It was really cool. We talk about it, and I didn't want to make it a long, meandering thing, so we kind of hit some key points. I try to structure it and regiment it out, so hopefully it makes it a little bit more digestible and palatable for you to listen. So I'm going to stop talking now, and But here's Ira and I, 30 good minutes, talking about the Tour of Duty workouts. All right, let's get to it, everybody. Tour of Duty was yesterday. You want to know what we thought, and by we, mostly want to know what Ira thought. I'm going to throw in some thoughts as well. Ira Schofield here, managing editor of WarChant.com, the ultimate Seminole sports source. Ira, thanks for taking time out. How are things on the north side of town?
They're good, man. I feel like you're toying with the fans' emotions, though, the people's emotions. They're one day they get Corey, the next day they don't get Corey. I mean, it's got to be a tough life. Are you at least setting them up in the description so they know what they're getting in for, or are you just they flying blind?
Bro, your name is in the show title. Like, people know, and that's bringing them in. That's keeping the ratings up. Keeping sure. Me afloat, brother.
Sure, sure.
Box of Vitamin Energy coming your way for doing sure. This. So, you know, if we just sat here and talked big picture stuff, I feel like we could ramble on for 20 minutes. So I try to make a little bit of a kind of like an outline here, Ira, things that I kind of wanted to maybe key on. Hopefully maybe keeps us a little bit on schedule, if you will, because we don't have Corey here to just fire off a question and him talk for 25 minutes. So
can I ask you one thing real quick?
Yeah, sure.
College football program ever got less than rave reviews on a day like that? Like, is UMass's tour of duty or four quarter drills or reporters going home going, I don't know if this is the year they're going to win three games.
You know, I mean, I know what you're saying, but I kind of think so. Maybe. I mean, the way they looked on Thursday, you know, I had some reservations, some anxiety. I mean, they had 12 dudes that went to the NFL combine. I'm like, how are they going to replace all those guys? And, you know, the whole thing is getting reasonable facsimiles. And I'm like, all right, most of these guys have. And there was that kind of verve, that kind of energy. I think like a winning culture is, and I bash on culture all the time. Like, there's a certain sound to it in a moment like that, in a practice, in a workout like that. And they still had it. And that's kind of what I remembered from last year, Ira. And I want to ask you, like, do you remember how you felt looking at them last year in that moment in the tour of duty, and any similar feelings, or is it just so far in the back of your head that, you know, you're just kind of starting from scratch and flying anew as we go into this season?
I should have cheated and gone back and watched the rap Jeff and I did from tour of duty last year. But my guess is it was probably pretty similar. And the thing, you know, and I thought, Josh Storms, I thought, had the best quote of the day. when he said that, you know, that was such a veteran team. They looked great because they all knew what they were doing. So many of those guys have been in the tour duty. And I remember that was like a big talking point was, I think I distinctly remember saying this in that rap last year, that it was such a stark contrast to the first couple of times we saw Tour of Duty because they were so good at it. You know, they guys knew exactly what they were doing. They were flying around. You didn't see guys really struggling, you know, one or two, maybe freshmen. But for the most part, all the guys that had been in the program looked so good at the Tour of Duty that, you know, but we were already excited about this team. So it was kind of like, it was almost self-fulfilling, but I thought Josh Storms was really accurate I think if you're a Florida State fan, you're hoping that he's very accurate when he says this team is different because this team has nothing but things to prove. Like everybody, whether it's the young guys, whether it's the transfers, very few of these transfers were super productive at their previous schools. A couple of them were, but a lot of them weren't. And then a lot of the veterans on this team, yeah, I mean, Shaheem Brown's played a lot. Azaria Thomas has played a lot. Ja'Kai Douglas has played a lot. There's a lot of guys in the team that have played a lot, but they weren't exactly the stars of the team. If they were the stars of the team, they probably would have gone to the NFL too, along with all those guys. So from that standpoint, I think, you know, it's different, but similar. Like there's a lot of excitement. I think you're right to say that the excitement seems warranted. But I think where I kind of, you know, where I started questioning myself a little bit, it's like, man, I was so excited about so many different things at this workout that I kind of wanted to check myself a little bit and say, hey, they're not even practicing yet. But yeah, man, I think we were super excited last year, and I think we're very excited this time, but just maybe for different reasons.
Yeah, I didn't see anybody lose their breakfast. And right. The only time I remember them like looking somewhat out of sorts and maybe like not knowing what the next drill or the next rep was a line of guys that were like chomping at the bit to get to the next rep. And it was like, no, hold on 1 second. Like the other group is going, all right, 3 seconds have passed. All right, now you guys are back up. So like there was that level of energy and excitement and, you know, everybody knowing where to go. And I mean, listen, they've done several of these before we were able to watch it. That was the last one of the season. So right. they've been through it. So, yeah, I guess to your point though, as well, like it's really hard to watch that and then nitpick at stuff and be like, oh, well, that doesn't look good. But I'm going to try my best at some point to maybe get to it. But let's stay on the positive beat here, Ira. Give me your 3 stars of the day. I know you and Jeff were, you know, it's so hard because you name one guy and then you name two and three and it starts to become like an avalanche of good vibes. But try to give me 3 guys that, you know, now that it's been several hours as we record this, still kind of stand at the front of your mind in terms of who stood out on Thursday.
Yeah, man, I just put a story up on the website. People can find it at warchant.com by Matt about Malik Benson. I just, man, I was blown away by that guy. And I really didn't know what to expect. Yes, he was a junior college All-American, number one junior college player in the country, but didn't do a whole lot at Alabama. And, I mean, I knew he'd be a good athlete, but I was really impressed by just how charismatic he was. You know, just leading guys and so upbeat and talkative. It reminded me, I mean, you know, I don't know. I was trying to think, I was going to say it kind of reminded me of Jermaine Johnson a little bit, but like, it just was there was an energy and a professional about him that was really palpable. And I thought that was really impressive.
And it felt authentic and
right.
It looked authentic and it
it didn't seem performative. Right. No. Yeah. I agree with you 100%. And apparently that's how he's been, you know, Storms talked about it, that he's just been the guy that comes early, stays late, drags other guys out there. And again, man, like that may not have stood out at Alabama, and it probably doesn't stand out here. This is a team with a lot of guys who are willing to work hard. But it's just cool to see it from a new guy who, I mean, if he's as good as he was supposed to be coming out of junior college, they may have really hit something there. You know, I also, there was a bunch of guys, like we said, we could pick a ton. I thought, you know, Hakeem Williams is hard to just get past because, again, it's just such a stark change from a year ago at this time. So he really stood out to me. And then I'm going to give a tie to two guys under the radar. This is my two wild cards to a couple of brothers, Jalen Lucas and Ja'Kai Douglas.
All right.
First of all, Jalen Lucas is electric, man. That kid, I mean, you had to figure he's fast and athletic. He's had 100-yard kickoff returns, multiple of them. But watching him, even in short spaces, man, he is sudden. I really hope they figure out a way to use him on offense because I mean, I'm sure he can't break a tackle. He's a small dude, but man, he can fly. And he's got a lot of, it seems like he's got some wiggle to him. I was really impressed with him. And Jakai Douglas, man, just the leadership was just off the charts. I thought, man, as soon as he would finish running, he would run back and lead the other guys. And again, that didn't seem forced. You know, I'm sure there are some guys who are trying to kind of audition to be leaders. But it seemed pretty sincere from him as well. And I think we've seen some of that before. So that just stood out to me. Again, for a position group, a wide receiver where there's not a ton of guys who've done it, he has done it probably more than anybody else in that room. He's had some big passes and some huge games. He's coming off of really playing well at the end of last season and then showing real leadership. So it stood out to me, not because of just his tremendous – he's obviously very athletic and fast – but just the some of the intangibles stood out to me. How about you?
Yeah. He looks like he was just like vibrating, like buzzing the entire day, Jalen Lucas. It was really impressive. I want to ask you about Hakeem, because I feel like the way – I don't know how Jeff spoke about him on the show yesterday as folks are listening to this, but I know in the wrap-up, like I hope folks like aren't embracing or expecting like Julio Jones. How much of how you feel about Hakeem is because last year when we saw him during tour of duty, it was just kind of like – you know, Vandravius was like almost lapping him in some drills. And that was like the thing that stood out. How much of it is like the relativeness of where he was last year to where he is this year makes you feel good about what he looked like, I guess.
No, I think definitely the relativeness is a big part of it. And, you know, and Jeff and I mean, Jeff is super bullish on Hakeem Williams. I mean, as you said, it came across yesterday, but even when he and I, when I was on his show, I think Monday or no, it was certain Seminole Headlines on Tuesday, we were talking about the receivers and he thinks he might be the number one receiver. Like he thinks he might be, I think Benson's probably gonna be the number one receiver, but he thinks Hakeem is. And certainly what we saw yesterday didn't change that opinion at all. But yeah, I'm thinking more relatively, you know, I mean, I do think he's going to be one of their top receivers, but he looks, man, again, if I had never seen him before though, I mean, that body, man, at that size to be that trim and he's added some muscle. It wasn't necessarily how he ran the drills. It was more just his physique.
Yeah. No, it does look impressive. Man. He should be carrying the sledgehammer coming off the bus at all games. I'll say that. My three stars, I'm going to go Shaheem. I think he just looks so fluid and just at ease. And he's definitely growing into what they expected him to be athletically. And he just seems to have that nose for the football playing the game. So those things kind of getting married together here. Makes you feel really good about the future. Patrick Payton, I thought, you know, he's a guy that very passionate in practice and sometimes kind of straddles that line of having too much energy and not being able to kind of dial in and focus. I thought he was just extremely stoic. Like he did not grimace. He was straining, you could tell, but he was embracing all the challenges at every single drill. And maybe that's like a level of maturity now that he has and knowing how to just kind of absorb everything that's going on around him in a practice or a workout. So I thought that was a nice key. And then for me, Josh Farmer. And I asked Josh Storms because I'm just like, should he be this big? He looked absurdly big. That's why I'm like, is he speed size combo where you want him to be? And he's like, yeah, you know, you see him. You know, he came here, I know he said 240, maybe 260 he came in as a freshman, and now he's over 310 pounds. But then he followed up by saying, and the way he moves in the drill. So I'm like, okay. They're okay with this. So that makes you feel excited about a guy of that size and that stature playing in the trenches and obviously a money year for him. So those are the three guys that really kind of stood out to me. And, you know, Ira's observations much more in tune because Ira was able to kind of walk around and check things out. I'm looking at everything through a camera lens filming this whole thing. So those are the guys that I just remembered looked really good in their drill. So
no, I thought you were good. Yours are great. And especially Shaheem. And I'm always... Yeah. High up in the Shaheem. I don't know if I'm the president, but I'm a board member of the Shaheem Brown fan club. And no, I thought he looked great. As soon as I walked in, he was the first guy you noticed. And I actually thought he was kind of similar to Jakai in terms of just that leadership. I mean, he was just very vocal and encouraging other guys. And you could tell he's taking some leadership of that secondary.
All right. We're going to call this one the laundry money guy. Basically, you're doing the laundry. Well, I do laundry. You guys have wives that help out around the house. I have nobody helping out around the house. Not that you guys don't do laundry sometimes, but, you know, anyhow, I'll stop being, I'll take that out of the show maybe. Maybe I won't. But who's the laundry guy? you basically are doing the laundry and you're checking your pocket. Like, oh, I got a $20 bill in my pocket. That's cool. Like, what a nice bonus. Who's a guy that you kind of maybe forgot about, but then saw on Thursday and you're like, oh, I forgot he's still around and he actually looks pretty good.
I would have a couple candidates, but probably my best one's probably Greedy Vance.
Okay.
Jarian Jones really came on last year and kind of, you know, took over that nickel position. And I wonder if Greedy Vance, you know, takes that back over to search himself. I thought he looked really good. And every time I would look at him, I'm like, oh, shoot, Greedy Vance. Like, we don't really talk about him, but I think he's a nice player. And I thought he looked great in those drills. Again, you know, those drills are made for the smaller guys. I mean, smaller, more athletic DB receiver types are always going to excel in those drills. But I thought he looked great. Another guy I would throw in there, not that I forgot about him, but just because I was so impressed by him as a guy that I didn't really know, I wasn't thinking about, was Jackson West. I mean, he looks like a – I mean, he's always been a nice player, I think, as a guy who just couldn't get healthy. Oh. And you knew he was an athlete. I think he played three sports in high school. But he just looks – he looks different to me. I mean, he's ripped and was really moving well.
I'm glad you brought him up because he was wearing a black jersey, which during the season means like you're a walk-on. So when I was seeing guys in black jerseys, I was kind of glossing over them. Mm-hmm. And he's the first guy that like I'm like, oh, wait, they actually got guys in scholarship wearing black jerseys. And I'm like, holy smokes, look at this guy. He looks like Adonis.
Yeah.
So, hopefully he's a guy that can stay healthy because they've always raved about what he can be. And it seems like injury, more so than anything, has stood in his way of being a productive member of the team. So yeah. I'm glad you brought that one up. Man, my laundry money guy that I totally forgot about, and it's a position of need for them because of what they've lost in terms of Jared Verse and I guess to a much lesser degree, Gilbert Edmond leaving, but Jaden Jones.
Yeah.
You know, for as much as we talk about Malik Benson being the number one JUCO guy 2 years ago, Jaden Jones was kind of in that rarefied air when it came to being a JUCO prospect, but then he got injured, I think his last year in junior college. You know, last year I think might have been like his – not even a full year coming off that injury. Maybe it was like a year and a half coming off the injury.
Yeah, not even a year. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm that guy, right? I'm the guy that's always like, give these guys time.
I was going to say that's like, you know, how bettors have systems, like gamblers have systems. Like I always play a road dog coming off of a loss or whatever. Yeah. And I think your system is year two for the explosive guy coming off of an injury. And yeah, man, I think you might be right on that one.
Yeah, and you know he did not have any of the knee braces and stuff that he had on his person last year. And he was moving really nice. So it's like, all right, man, that could be a nice piece because you like what you have with Patrick. I thought Marvin Jones Jr. looked really sharp as well. And if he's a guy that can give you something, then that adds another piece to a very important position when it comes to playing football in this day and age. All right, who's the all aboard guy? Whose bandwagon is constantly full and everybody keeps bothering us about why isn't he playing? Where is he in the depth chart? And after they either read your observations or watched your video, like, see, like what's going on? Like, why isn't he not playing more? Who's your guy that's all aboard and his bandwagon is going to be chugging stronger than ever now?
I don't know if it is this moment, but I'm going to say maybe Julian Armella.
My man. All right. We're on board on that one. There we go.
Cause didn't he look bigger? I thought he looked a lot bigger, right?
He looked like an enforcer. Like, yeah, man, he's filled in quite nice. Yeah. And he moved really well too. That to me is him moving well, I thought.
Well, yeah, but it's like his body journey has been interesting because, you know, in high school, remember like when he was first five-star offensive lineman, he was just big and heavy and massive. And he would just muscle kids around and just throw them around like rag dolls. But then he lost all that weight his senior year of high school. He wanted to become like much more fit and lose all the bad weight. And he did, but then he was almost like too lean these last couple of years. But now he looks like, I mean, he's put on a bit much weight. I saw that they list him at 6'6", 320. I don't think he was listed anywhere near that heavy last year. I haven't gone back to look, but I think he was listed closer to less than 300 maybe. And he looks like he's put on a lot of good weight. And like you said, he ran really good. I don't know that the door is open for him to play or not. It might be. But yeah, man, when people see him, you're definitely, it's just going to add to that question because people have already been asking it for the last couple of years. Right.
Yeah, for sure. I don't think they've tried back and see what they had him listed as. And it looks to be kind of along the lines of what they have him listed at now. So maybe they haven't fully updated, but yeah, he just had a different look to him, man. And he was engaged and it wasn't, It wasn't like false bravado sort of stuff, which I feel like I saw some of that from him last year, which, and I get it, man. Like, you got to get yourself up to go through some of these practices every single day at the crack of dawn when you might not be playing as much as you anticipated. So you kind of have to hype yourself up to get through some days. But he looked like a guy that just put his nose down and went through all the workouts on Thursday and looked really well moving through them. So hopefully, hopefully he's a guy that can compete for some playing time and push maybe guys that are ahead of him and maybe even supersede them once they do start with spring football here in a few weeks.
I will say this. One thing that we've heard, and I don't know if it's true. I'm not breaking news here. I'm not 100% sure.
It's just a pot hour. You can say whatever you want. We won't get aggregated.
True, but there's been some talk that maybe he might get a look at guard. And that would explain how maybe he could get on the field earlier. Because, again, if Robert Scott's healthy and if Jeremiah Byers is healthy and if Jalen Early's healthy, I mean, it seems like those guys probably have some of the top spots to tackle along with some of these guys brought in. But there's going to be wide open competition at guard. And if he is ready to do that, and I mean, he looks good, I could see him maybe being that guy.
That makes sense too. If he bulked up too, probably right. Put a little more on the frame so he can play on the interior a little bit better. So, all right. So we've been really positive. So here's the Aslan special. Hope I'm wrong about ... I'll go first. Hope I'm wrong about, and listen, I've been wrong a lot, probably more than I've been right on things. Hope I'm wrong about Sean Murphy. Sean Murphy looked a little stiff to me. Didn't seem as fluid moving through the drills as some of the other guys in his position group. Again, it was one day. It's the last workout. Maybe he's a little bit fatigued. Don't know what he's battling, if anything at all. But he was the one guy that I was, newcomers that kind of came across my radar when I was filming stuff. I'm like, ooh, let me focus in on this. Again, it was like maybe one rep. And I'm like, that didn't look exactly dynamic and playmaking, game-changing freelancer guy out there. But, we've got 15 practices to get better and figure it out. So I hope I'm wrong, ... about Sean Murphy. That's my pick.
Can I give you and I didn't see much of him, so I can't concur. Now, I saw him out there, but I just didn't watch him a lot. So I can't concur or argue with you. I've got like a mini half one that I don't want to – I want to dip my toe in the water on, but I don't want to go full force. And it's one of your stars from earlier. That weight concerned me a little bit with Josh Farmer.
Okay.
Just because, man, he's over 310 pounds. I just don't know that that's where he needs to be. I think he's a guy, to me, he's not the two gap guy. I mean, he's more of a man, go make plays and be, I don't know. I like his quickness, his explosiveness. I'm not saying he didn't have it. And to your point, maybe Josh Storm said he has retained it, but that's kind of what I wrote in my, my observations was if he can keep his quickness, then that, man, he's going to be a beast. But I just wonder if he can. So I'm a little tinge concerned about that, but we'll see what he ends up playing it. It may be a deal where they give it a look in the spring and see what it looks like and decide, man, let's kick it back to 300 or 305. I'm not sure he needs to be a 315. But the other guy I would say is, and it's not fair because offensive linemen, it's so hard to judge them in these things, but I thought maybe is it TJ Ferguson, Terrence Ferguson,
yeah,
the kid from Alabama? Yeah,
correct.
He looked like he was laboring a little bit. I mean, again, it's hard to judge those guys because you're an offensive lineman and that's a really rigorous exercise. But I thought, he's the guy that when they signed him, I went back and looked and, he didn't do a whole lot at Alabama to get you too fired up about. And then now I wasn't real impressed with him at this. Now it's not like they're counting on him. It's not like they need him to be a star this year. But he's one guy I was kind of hoping based on, talking to him and, the fact that he signed at Alabama, I was kind of hoping he might be a guy that really would boost this offensive line. And I was kind of hoping to see more from him.
I think we all quickly forget. I hope he's doing great. I should look up his LinkedIn and see what he's doing. He's hopefully making a great living. But then Adonis Thomas, did he go to Alabama or Georgia?
I think he was Alabama.
And then like we were like, we just stole a linebacker from Alabama. Got it.
You're saying they missed too?
Sometimes. But again, it was one workout in shorts and t-shirts, so we won't get too fired up about it. You and Jeff were talking about, as we wind down here, Iron, try to get you off. Thanks for hanging around with us. You mentioned some of these second-year guys, but then you also kind of mentioned in passing the freshman defensive backs. I didn't get to see a lot of Kai Bates. I did see Charles Lester. I feel like Charles Lester, Jamari Howard was a little smidge of the Vandravius Jacobs, Hakeem dynamic that we had last year where Lester was the Hakeem Williams, the more highly touted guy. But to me, I thought Jamari Howard looked every bit as athletic and talented and you know, athletically gifted as Charles Lester, and maybe even just a little bit more. And that makes you feel really excited about what they're going to be on the back end of this defense for years to come.
Yeah, no, he definitely looks impressive. And he's, I mean, is he the one they call Trackman? Is that the one his nickname is Trackman, I think, in coming out of high school, track guy, Trackman, I think.
Sounds right.
Yeah. But he's, yeah, no, he's definitely explosive. But I thought Kai Bates looks good too. And Charles Lester, what's impressive to me about they're all big framed, athletic kids. Like they're not 5'11 corners. You know, if you think back to just two or three years ago, a lot of those guys that they brought in a corner, maybe the first year or like, you know, towards the end of Willie's time and the beginning of Norvell's time, you know, you brought in a little bit more 5'11 kind of DBs. And these guys are 6'1, 6'2. Long and athletic. They've got to get bigger and stronger. But I'm impressed by their frames. And I like that group. I think they're going to be good. And I also really like the freshman receivers. I mean, I thought, again, we'll go through the whole roster here. But, yeah, I thought the freshman receivers looked good. I really like Camden Fryer. I thought he's a guy that's a football player. And which makes sense because, you know, he didn't even play receiver most of his life. He's played other positions, played defense. But he runs like a football player. And you know, several of the other, offensive, you know, freshman receiver type guys, I thought looked impressive as well.
Yeah. I wanted to mention just a random name before we left, LaWayne McCoy.
Yes.
He's a guy that I don't think a lot of people talked about during recruiting, but he looked really good. I thought on Thursday.
Yeah, I was watching him. It's funny that one drill where they run and then they jump and then they run again. Like he jumps
like one of the guys does a barrel roll and you have to jump, but you don't jump over him because they don't want to get tripped up. But you jump
right
timing wise to work on your timing. Yeah,
but he jumps so high that he it like slows him down in the drill because it's like, dude, you don't have to jump out of the gym. Oh. Definitely explosive. And he's a guy that I think in the on three rankings, like late in the process, I think he got bumped up higher than some of those other guys that he was earlier. So yeah, I mean, I think he's got a lot of potential too. It's again, that's where you got to check yourself a little bit because they're not in pads. It's not football, but man, it from the eye test, it certainly looks like they've got a lot of guys, a lot of speed and athleticism.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, before you go, speaking of eye tests, you were at Hauser the other night watching baseball. What do you think about this 11-0 start for Lincoln, the guys? They got New Orleans coming up this weekend, then they got Florida midweek next week, and then they start ACC play. I think they're the number one batting team, if I'm not mistaken. They got the top batting average in the entire country right now. I know it's early. I know they haven't played high-level competition. but, man, they got so many guys in that lineup, and they're playing pretty clean in the field. Some of your, I guess, initial takeaways from this first quarter, I guess, of the baseball season, Ira.
No, man, they can rake. And you know, I was hearing that before the season, but I also kind of was like, yeah, man, I was really hopeful last year that they were going to, be much better. And during Meat's couple of years, I thought they'd be better than they were. And it's just after 3 or 4 or 5 years of kind of disappointment, you start thinking, well, I'm not going to buy it. But yeah, I mean, you think about the guys they brought back offensively, it makes sense because the guys they brought back offensively, you talk about Ferrer and Tibbs and some of those guys, and
then Cam Smith,
and Cam Smith, obviously.
Incredible.
And then you bring who's much more polished now as a hitter than he was a year ago. And then you bring in some of these guys, that are just hitting the ball hard. What's impressive to me is even when it's not home runs, it's not just necessarily the home runs, but they hit the ball really, really hard. I like the approach has been good, and yeah, they're going to see better pitchers. But the other thing that I think is really a positive is that they just seem so confident right now. And part of that's because they're playing well. But, again, that Florida Gulf Coast game to me was interesting because, there was like that swagger was, I think they believe they're really, really good. Now we'll see when they play better teams, but I got to think that's going to help them when they go play Florida or some of these teams that they have not maybe had that swagger against. So we'll see, but it's been a fun team to watch without question. You don't feel great necessarily yet about the bullpen. We'll see how that all plays out, but I like the starters and the offense, man, you can't, there's nothing you can say. I mean, it seems like every guy they put in there is producing, even Lodice. He's producing as well. So it's fun to watch. I love DMS Ross. I mean, it's just up and down the lineup, man. It's a fun group.
It is. They're taking on New Orleans this weekend at Hauser. So go check it out if you're here in town. All right, so next week's spring break, and then after that, spring football will start up. But we'll have plenty of stuff going on, I'm sure, over on the website here in the meantime, right, Ira?
A lot of spring previews, and recruiting cranks back up. Matt's got a couple stories that'll be up on the site today, kind of leading into this weekend. They've actually got a bunch of recruits coming on campus, mostly on Saturday, I believe. So we'll have coverage of that, and then also more spring position previews. It's been fun to do these position previews this year because – there's so much uncertainty. There's so many unknowns. So there's a lot to, kind of speculate about as opposed to, again, last year where it was kind of you just knew what you had. I mean, it was very it was such an experienced team. So, keep those going. And then, like you said, that week after spring break, it's going to be here.
When a man gets to his age like mine, Aria, and he doesn't have a family to take care of, he has a lot of idle time on his hands. And he spends his idle time thinking about very random things. I'm like, I wonder what it feels like to be Ira, just to be like a hyper-productive guy, high-volume dude, gets everything done for us on the website. I felt a little tinge of that on Thursday. I was just glad to be part of it, man. It was so cool, man. Like, for real. Gene's out there taking photos at freaking 6 a.m. You're out there jotting down observations. Matt is tweeting out clips of everything that's going on. Jeff's writing down observations to do a wrap with you. Ben Spicer is out there. Our guy Ben lives here in Tallahassee now. He's out there filming stuff. There's going to be another extended piece of video from yesterday's tour of duty worker that'll be on our YouTube page. And then I get Coach Storms, Coach Norvell posted in the 45 minutes. Ira, I can't believe I totally lost track of it. Like when Ben told me, I'm like, dude, I just uploaded 45 minutes. And he looked at me like I was crazy. He's like, 45 minutes? And I'm like, maybe I accidentally double clicked and just like duplicated 20 minutes worth. But no, like I filmed 45 minutes of stuff and we got it all up on the website all by the time everybody got pretty much clocked in at their desk on Thursday. I don't like self-promoting, but it felt really cool. I'm like, oh, this one must be like to be like Ira.
No, it's awesome, dude. Nate, again, and you killed it. You knocked it out of the park. And I know that's not why you brought this up, but you did do a great job. But again, that's why I'm so excited about our staff because again, like on game days, I love working with you and Corey because we all know what each other's going to do. And Matt has added in well to that group as well. And like, it's a smooth running machine. And then you got Tom and Ben and those guys on the back end. And man, it was evident at that workout on Thursday. I'm excited for spring practice because listen to him, people. Aslan knows what he's talking about. There's a lot of content on the site and it was up quickly and hopefully y'all like it.
All right, there we go. Ira, I think Corey will be back, but I'll try to find creative ways to bring you back on the show if you'll hang out with us. I appreciate it, man.
Sounds good, buddy.
He's Ira Schofield, managing editor of warchant.com, everybody. All right, thanks again to Ira Schofield. He, of course, a 5-star for a reason. It's earned, everybody. Stay connected to warchant.com. Plenty going on over at the website. Jeff Cameron Show, 1 to 3 o'clock. As Ira said, recruiting gearing back up. Matt Lasser, Michael Langston got you covered. Ben Spicer also helping out on that. Weekend slate, baseball. Florida State hosts Uno. New Orleans, that is. Softball down at Florida Gulf Coast, if I'm not mistaken. Basketball closes out against Miami. We'll see how that factors into where they end up in the ACC tournament. Ladies also in action as well. So stay connected to warchant.com, the ultimate Semmel sports source. Thanks again, everybody, for listening to Wake Up War Chant, presented by the Corner Pocket Bar and Grill.